Well, I'm thinking of it. I had two announcements that I thought I'd share with you. One of them is that we've been doing these movies in the park, but it's getting a little cold to do movies outside in the park, and so we're going to continue the movie idea like we did last year and do a movie in here. It's really quite a setup to see our 20-foot inflatable screen on this end, and the next one is going to be on Friday of this week. I don't remember the actual name of it. It's in your bulletin, but it's a Halloween-themed movie. There's going to be a time of getting together beforehand, so if you are young and want to dress up, if you're old and want to dress up, this would be your opportunity. There'll be candy involved if you need a little incentive to come. And the other announcement I was asked to share with you is, many of you know Dick and Dolores Strauss. They are celebrating 60 years of marriage to each other. And they'd like you to help celebrate. There's going to be a little bit of a reception in the parlor right after worship. So if, as you're leaving, you want to go out through the narthex and parlor area, they would love to have you stop in. As long as I'm talking and doing announcements, by the way, Kim wants you to know that it's her birthday today. So as you're saying hi to people afterwards, say happy birthday to Kim. Yeah, he's
a baby.
But he'll be a 30-year-old one tomorrow. From the book of Acts, the second chapter. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourself from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking bread, and to prayers. Awe came upon everyone because there were many wonders and signs that were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts. Can you see why I chose that passage? Because that phrase, glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all people at heart. And day by day, the Lord added to their numbers those who were being saved. A number of years ago, I got to hear a very dynamic speaker by the name of Tony Campolo. Have you ever heard that name? Prolific author, dynamic speaker. At the time that I heard him, he was a professor of sociology at Eastern University, which is in Philadelphia. And he was also the associate pastor at Mount Carmel Baptist Church. It's a predominantly African-American church, but his skin is more my color. He was the associate pastor there. His most famous sermon was a sermon that was titled, "It's Friday, but Sunday's Coming." He told about a story about one day he was speaking at a conference, and he was in the hotel, and he was getting in the elevator to come down, go to the lobby from his room. And he got in the elevator, and another guy got in the elevator with him. As the elevator was getting close to the bottom floor, the guy put his hand in his pocket and had what appeared to be a gun. He said, "Give me your wallet." So Tony reached into his pocket, pulled out his wallet, and then said, "But you should know that when I travel, I keep most of my money in my shoe." So then he took off his shoe, took out the cash that was in there, and gave the man his wallet and his shoe, and his money that had been in his shoe. When the doors opened at the bottom floor, the guy ran, and he figured that was the last that he would ever see of him. Then a couple days later, he was eating at the restaurant, at the hotel restaurant, and he saw the very same man. The guy walks up to him, pulls up a chair at the table he was eating at, and gives him his money and his wallet back. He said to him, "I think you have something even more valuable that I would like." He said, "What I'd really like to know is what it was that inspired you to give me the money that was in your shoe. What inspired you to do that?" That gave Campolo the opportunity to talk about the peace that comes from knowing a God whose basic nature is to love and who, for whatever reason, chooses to give that love away. It gave him the opportunity to talk about how we find that person in the person of Jesus Christ, who loved us enough to give his life for us, and how we can be remade in that image. And the way that we do that is by loving and giving to others. For the last couple of weeks, we've been in a series where we've been focusing on what it means to have generous hearts. We started last week by noticing that generous hearts begin with understanding of the heart of God. And today I'd like to focus a little bit more on what we can do to develop that kind of a heart. I'd like to point out, by the way, that there are some paper hearts around the room. These are a way, if you would be willing, if you would like, to share ways that God touches your heart or that you have the opportunity to touch hearts of other people. And then these, if you find their way either up onto the front area or into the offering box, you'll notice that they're finding their way around the room, especially up in that area.
I told everybody last week, Brad, that they were going to take part in an ongoing art project. If you were to wander around the stage, you would see a number of names of people that have been inspirational in our lives, of prayers, of scriptures, of all kinds of stuff that you have been taking part in, and you'll get to today too. But that's why you're seeing an increased mosaic of hearts on the stage.
I just was really afraid that people might think it's February 14th and I missed something and would be really confused, and so I thought we ought to point out to them.
It does happen with age.
And yeah, I'm learning that more and more each day. You'll find that out tomorrow. After Jesus died and then rose again, the early church went through this phase where it was really kind of confused about what to do. The disciples, for the most part, went back to the lives they'd been living before that. But every now and then, they'd still get together. The big celebration after Passover was a celebration called Pentecost, and the disciples got together for Pentecost. That first Pentecost after Jesus died, there was something really unusual and strange that happened. You remember they're all together in this room? And all of a sudden there's something that feels like a wind that blew through the room. And the Holy Spirit came upon them. And they started, these ordinary and sometimes not real bright people started sharing their faith. It was like they'd been set on fire and thousands of people believed and wanted to be part of what was happening for them. But here's what I get to wondering. I get to wondering, as other people were looking on from the outside, what would they have seen? That first day they saw people talking in different languages, but from then on, what would they have seen? And here's what we are told people saw. They saw them praising God with glad and generous hearts. Are you wondering, how do I do that? How do I have a glad and generous heart? One of the things I try to do every day is I try to watch the news to keep up on what's going on in the world. I watch about like the Ebola virus, and now there's a connection with Ohio. The second nurse that's infected apparently had taken a trip to Ohio and spent some time visiting in Cleveland, so it's getting closer to home. You read about or hear about ISIS or ISIL and the problems that they're having in the Middle East and Syria and Iraq. I hear about the heroin epidemic that's going on in this country and is worst of all places, you know where? In Dayton, Ohio. And I have to admit, I find my heart isn't getting glad and generous. It's getting sad and anxious. Do you ever find that? It's a lot easier to get sad and anxious than glad and generous. So how do we move from being sad and anxious to being glad and generous? How do we move from struggling with how to get through the day and wondering how we're going to get from one paycheck to another to having a glad and generous heart? The disciples are asked a really good question. They're asked the question, what should we do? What should we do? Their formula goes like this. They say, repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit. Repent. Do you know what that word means? Repent. It means to turn around, doesn't it? To be heading in one direction and then to go another direction. It means realizing that we're doing something wrong and deciding that we're going to do something to change. It's a word that you see used more around the time of the exile in Israel's history. If you remember, there was the time of the kings, time of King David and King Solomon. After that, Israel had some rough times. They had some bad leadership, and the country started falling apart, was invaded by Babylon, and then a lot of the people of Israel were taken into captivity in Babylon. Again, they became strangers in a strange land. They heard the prophets telling them, though, that things were going to change. And you know what the word for change was? Repent. Originally, it meant to go home. Is that where you are? Do you feel like you're at a time where you need some change? Repent, then they said, be baptized. Baptism is the beginning of faith. And so it's a starting over. It's a feeling clean. It's remembering where you came from. The easiest way, I think, to replace something we want to change is to do something different. Replace it with something new and something good. As many of you know, I've recently had some eye surgery, some cataract surgery. That was about a month or so ago. I was told after that cataract surgery to take it a little bit easy, especially in the gym for a while. Do you know how hard it is to not lift anything over 20 pounds? Do you know how little 20 pounds is? Well, this week I was finally done with all the eye drops. I'm getting sick of eye drops, by the way. And I was cleared by the doctor to go back to normal. And so I started exercising again. Do you know what I'm doing now? I'm starting over. I'm remembering where I was 30 years ago and doing a lot of the things that started then. Is that where you are? Is this time for a new beginning, a fresh start? Then they said, receive the Holy Spirit. We're capable of more than we ever imagined because it's not about us. It's about what God can do through us. What we have to do is make ourselves open and available. If you want to know more about the Holy Spirit, there's a book in the Bible that I would especially direct you to, the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit, the book of Acts really is about the work of the Holy Spirit, first in the life of Peter, and then later in the book about the work of Paul. Is that where you are? Are you open to receive the Holy Spirit? Now, you may be asking yourself, okay, but what do I actually have to do? I understand repentance, I understand baptism, I understand the Holy Spirit, but what is it I actually have to do? I love the story about the happy hypocrite. Do you know this story? Dave's shaking his head no, never heard it before. It was published in 1914 by a guy by the name of Max Beerbohm, and it's actually written as a play. The story is about a guy who sees this girl and really wants to get to know her better. But just looking at her, he can tell that she's way out of his league. Now remember, this is a stage play. And so he decides what he's going to do is fashion a mask that looks like the kind of person he thinks she would be attracted to. So he makes this mask and he puts it on. And lo and behold, can you guess what happens? She is interested. They get to know each other. They fall deeply in love. But the story really turns when there's this moment that you know that he's realizing what she's fallen in love with is the mask and not the person behind the mask. And so he's going to have to reveal the person behind the mask. He reveals the person behind the mask, and what has happened is that he has become the person that he has been acting like. The point is this. If we do the things that a person with a generous heart would do, we just might find that when we take off our masks, we will have glad and generous hearts. So what did the disciples actually do? One of the things they did was devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Have you ever found that life is pretty shallow, like there has to be more? Like you know that God is all around you, you'd like to be in a deeper relationship, but you're not sure exactly how? There is a story, there's a book about how people have done that. People with names like Abraham and Sarah and David and Ruth and Paul and Tabitha. Do you know what book I'm talking about? The Bible, right? In Acts, the Holy Spirit arrived on the scene, and one of the things that the disciples, the apostles, did is devote themselves to the apostles' teaching. You know where we have the apostles? They would have had the actual apostles there, but we've still got their teaching. Do you know where you find it in the Bible? That's most of the letters in the New Testament. In one of those letters, or actually in the book of Acts, a little bit later on in chapter 7, there's a story about an Ethiopian eunuch who's riding along in his chariot. He's probably going home after Pentecost. He's reading the Bible. He's reading the book of Isaiah, and Philip overhears him reading the book of the prophet Isaiah. So he goes up to him and he says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the eunuch says, "No, I have no idea because I don't have anybody to interpret it to me." And so Philip then interprets him what the prophet Isaiah is saying and how that points the way to Jesus. When they get to some water, he says, "Is there any reason I can't be baptized?" Philip says, "That sounds like a great idea." What got him to the point that he was ready to make a new start? Studying the scripture together with another person. If you want to know what the Bible says, the best way to find out is to go there yourself. They also devoted themselves to the breaking of the bread and to prayers. What I'm really doing is outlining a couple of what Wesley called means of grace or spiritual disciplines, ways that we can better receive that grace, and one of them is through prayer. If you're feeling isolated and alone, like you're finding it hard to feel in communication with God, then the way we can be in better communication with God is through prayer, right? In Acts, the Holy Spirit arrived. One of the things that the apostles did is they devoted themselves to prayer. There's no place that we can go where we cannot pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says we should rejoice always and pray without ceasing. I wonder about that. I struggle with that. What's it mean to pray without ceasing? Because I don't think the Apostle Paul is talking about always being on our knees with our hands together and our heads bowed. I think what he's talking here more about is an attitude. I think he's talking about an attitude that we should have all the time. Of living in such a way that when you see a rainbow, you remember that there is a God who brings sunshine after the rain. Maybe remember the story of Noah and God putting his bow in the clouds. Or a way of living where when you talk to another person, you realize that you're also speaking to God, that the words that you offer to other people, God is listening in. So that whether we're driving or working or mowing the yard or watching television, God is there. Another of the means of grace or spiritual disciplines. They would distribute the proceeds of what they had to all as any had need. Or in other words, service. If you're feeling like you're living in a world that's getting too materialistic and too self-centered, there is something we can do to try to get out of that trap, and it is to serve each other. It's a way of doing things for other people with no regard for what we're going to get out of it. On Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descended. One of the things that people in the early church did, they would hold things in common, and they would distribute to all as any had need. We had an example of a way that some people served here just yesterday, by the way. We hosted the African Methodist Episcopal Church's annual conference. So there were 28 churches that all gathered. They needed a facility that was big enough to house them. And so we offered the facility of Faith Community Methodist Church. But there are some folks that, like Ann Ledbetter and Harry and Alice Osman and Scott Jenkins, that thought, we ought to do more than just offer our building. What if we offer some people who would help them to find their way around, to know where the light switches are and where chairs are if they needed chairs? They were here at 6:30 on a Saturday morning just to help folks find their way around the building. I heard more comments, I got in about 9, about how hospitable we had been as a faith community. One last thing I want to point out. The other thing that the apostles did is they were together, shared fellowship in the temple. Have you ever felt like life was getting frantic, too hectic, and out of control? Wouldn't it be nice if there was something we could do to address that issue? The word I'd like to suggest we get more comfortable with is Sabbath. Honoring the Sabbath day and keep it holy. It is, after all, one of the commandments. You can't rest all the time, but we can have some time of rest in the rhythm of work and play. To intentionally focus on who God is and what God's will for our life is. In the Gospel according to John chapter 10, there's a place where Jesus says, "I am the gate." I think what he's talking about is sheep were often kept in a pen and there wouldn't be an actual door on the gate. And so what the shepherd would do is put themselves in that gate. A good shepherd was one who would stand there and was able to decide who would get in and what was not allowed in and would have to stay out. I think what Jesus is saying there is that inside the gate, the sheep are cared for. Inside the gate, the sheep are safe. Inside the gate, the sheep are fed. The sheep are led. Inside the gate, the sheep are surrounded by other sheep in a place where they belong. They have somebody else looking out for them. We all need some time and place in our week where we can feel safe and watched over. And that's really what worship is all about, a place to find some Sabbath rest. This week you're going to be getting a letter in the mail, and so I thought I'd let you know that that was coming. It's probably going to be signed by Jim Kennedy on behalf of our stewardship team. Jim, you want to wave your hand and say hi? That's just so that you know who Jim is. It's going to ask you to think about and pray about your commitment to the work of the Lord through Faith Community Church. We're doing it a little differently this year. We're asking you not just to pray about your financial commitment, and Pete Steffen's going to talk a little bit about that a little bit later, but also about your commitment to pray for the church and to serve through the church. If for some reason that letter doesn't come, there will be some of these commitment cards available next week. Next week is going to be Commitment Sunday. What God did for us 1,000 years ago is the most amazing thing ever. God opened his heart and offered to us grace. If you'd like to go deeper, make yourself more available to that grace, there is a book that we can study together about how people with names like Abraham and Sarah or David or Ruth or Paul or Tabitha did that. It's called the Bible. One way we can make ourselves more available to God's grace is through studying the Scriptures. If you'd like to come to a deeper appreciation of what it means to know what it's like to God, have God always there, to be in constant communication with God, then there is a means of grace that we can follow to do that. It's called prayer. If you'd like to be more aware of the needs of the people around you, we can do that, offering help to other people with no regards of what's in it for us. It's called service. If you'd like to know what it means to live in a more restful world, there's a way we can do that, and it's called Sabbath. These are some of the things we can work towards, but ultimately they are some things that we just need to take the leap and do. And so as a closing sermon illustration, I offer this video clip as an illustration of how making a commitment to means of grace is often like going for a parachute jump.